Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I think we'll bring this convocation to order. As you are aware, a year or so ago, I promised to try to complete the feedback loop from the time of budget preparation to the time of budget completion. And so this is the final step in that loop. We began our budget preparations last spring in terms of a proposal that went forward to the general campus community through the Assembly and Executive Council, tried to reach resolution of those general elements of it. We then, over the course of the summer, presented our budget request along with each of the other campuses to the statewide administration and finally to the Board of Regents in October, and various sets of recommendations were made as we proceeded through that. I've generally referred to this as the day of reckoning. By the time you actually presented back to the campus community what you said you were going to try to maintain through the budgetary process, I'm certainly pleased to be able to report that I think, and you're all of course welcome to challenge it, but I think it is in general along the same guidelines that we presented last spring, with of course some more detail added to it. I would like to pick it up by generally running through it. I have overheads relative to the types of documents you have available in front of you, and let me try to explain these somewhat. If you will take a look, this is a general summary sheet for the overall University of Alaska system. The University of Alaska Fairbanks, of course, is the second column here, and you'll note that our overall general fund total, this is general fund and general fund match only, is $69,724,300. The entire system budget is $174,530,000. I'd like to call your attention, I think, to a couple of areas. FY82 is what we actually had authorized by the legislature last year, and that dollar amount for Fairbanks was $52,817,000. The FY83 authorization includes what came through the operating budget plus certain special pieces of legislation that were funded during the past year. For instance, we did receive money for the remote sensing project in a separate piece of legislation. That's built into that authorized figure. There was some additional funds added for a Rural Alaskan Honors Institute. That's built into that authorization figure as carry forwards into the next fiscal year. I would mention the FY84 continuation level figure because we're trying something new this year. In the past, we have carried in continuation level, and that's defined by the governor as the same dollar amount that you had in the previous fiscal year plus inflation, arbitrarily defined by the governor as 6% on non-personnel items and salary increases. In the past, we carried only the longevity portion of the salary increases in the budgetary request. As you know, last year there was a subcommittee of the statewide assembly operating to develop a compensation policy for the University of Alaska system. That work was completed last spring, and a policy adopted by the board. So this year we are utilizing a new procedure where we're actually building our whole salary requirement into our continuation level base. In the past, we have dovetailed in on the state agencies in terms of the base salary increase. So we are carrying in the continuation level figure for each of the campuses a 7.5% salary increase to implement the University of Alaska compensation policy. And as you recall, that policy has three elements in it. The first element is to protect real income to the extent of 75%, then meritorious service, and then finally longevity are the three elements. The decision on the 7.5% in terms of its distribution according to the policy guidelines would be made annually by the Board of Regents at its spring meeting. In terms of new program elements, then, the row entitled increments, $4,587,100, is essentially what we are requesting in terms of new program increments. Everything else prior to that would be essentially maintenance of existing services as they currently are. One exception, we have had some debt service on one of the buildings funded by the legislature in the past. We lose that debt service on June 30th of this next fiscal year. It's approximately $300,000, and so that was reallocated to pick up a couple of the first priorities in the essential services package that we had had previously. This is an attempt to indicate what's happened to the University of Alaska system and its various units over the past 3 years, from the period fiscal year 1979, which actually began July 1, 1978, through fiscal year 1982, the year that ended on June 30th. You will note that the degrees awarded by the various campuses have all increased somewhat. Amongst the four-year campuses, the University of Alaska Fairbanks degree awards has increased about 13% over that period of time. The nominal funding would be the actual dollars added by the legislature in each year as a percent increase over that period of time. And you'll note we've done about 18% as an average annual increase. And the solid bar is the constant funding, and that would represent what happened after you factored out for inflation and salary increases, and that would essentially represent the real growth increments. This is essentially the same type of chart, except it looks at FTE enrollment as opposed to degree awards. But the bars for nominal funding and constant funding would be the same. We have averaged over that 3 year period essentially about a 9% average annual growth. As you're probably aware, this past year I think our FTE figure finally wound up at about 13.2% over what it was last year. Last year was about 12% over the year previous, and the year before that it was slightly lower. This gives you a general picture of what has happened overall to the dollars in the system over the past few years. It's rather dramatic. If you look at the beginning year on that chart, it was 1976, and at that time the entire system had $48.6 million worth of state money. The current fiscal year we're at 148.5, and we're seeking 174 for next year. It's been a rather rapid increase over that period. This is an attempt, at least in the instructional area, to take a look at, if you would, I suppose, efficiency per dollar spent on instruction. And this is instructional costs only. The highest instructional costs in the system at the present time do happen to exist in Juneau, and that's more a function of critical mass and size, I think, than it is anything else. The actual costs for the University of Alaska Fairbanks tend to run around $150 per credit hour. If you multiply that, of course, by 15, you'll come up with the average cost per semester per FTE student. Cree is also relatively expensive, and I think that's somewhat a reflection of its disparate nature throughout the rest of the state. What I thought I would do would be to run through all of these first and then open it up to questions. And so please mark anything that you'd like to request further information on, perhaps challenge or spark further thinking on. If you recall the graph that we showed relative to dollar expenditures over the period 1976 through 1983, this one dips back a little bit to 1975. But in general, I think the slope of the line tends to parallel, to a large extent, the same increases in dollars throughout the system. Interestingly enough, if you look at student-faculty ratios, you'll find that we're as efficient as any campus in the system, running about 13.5 students to one faculty member, and that accounts just for the teaching faculty member. The research components have been factored out. However, if you do take a look at that chart in conjunction with our average cost per credit hour, it would probably be indicative of the fact that maybe we have slightly more money in support areas for instruction than do our counterparts at the other universities. And this is merely a pictorial representation of the first chart in terms of a breakdown by percentages of the entire University of Alaska system revenues. University of Alaska Fairbanks, and that does include our organized research component, represents about 40% of the overall system budget. This is our capital request budget for FY85. Overall, the system is requesting approximately $159 million in capital expenditures for next year. University of Alaska Fairbanks represents $47,200,000 worth of that particular expenditure. There are essentially 13 items within it. Our two top priorities are essentially the same as they were in 1983, the student housing complex and the laboratory, classroom, office, research facility for the West Ridge. Both of those, as you may recall, were funded by the legislature this past year in a GO bond for the University of Alaska system. However, the governor vetoed all general obligation bonds across the state, and so these two projects represent, again, our same high priorities for 1984. Additionally, we're trying to make some major impacts in the equipment area, instructional and support equipment. We're requesting an addition of $3.2 million to infuse across the campus. We have some problems with code deficiencies in a few specific areas. Item number seven, the student housing renovations. We began last year phase one of what we hoped would be a three-year plan to upgrade our existing housing facilities. We estimated last year that in 1983 terms, that would represent approximately $10 million in repair. We thought that was too extensive to seek in any single year, and so strategically, we inflated it for the next 2 years to $12 million and are seeking it in $4 million chunks over a period of 3 years. This would be phase two. We are trying to really begin some major developments in campus master planning for the physical expansion of this campus. The $1.5 million figure would represent some of that, plus some advanced planning funds for a couple of other buildings. And essentially that is the breakdown of the entire capital budget request for the University of Alaska system. As I said, it was $159 million, and here it is broken down by the major administrative units. I'm going to skip over at least one page in your book at this point and begin addressing the specifics of the priority increments for the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus. These will parallel the types of information you had on the first sheet. We should, by the time we're finished with this, total up to $4,587,000 in terms of various increments. Let me perhaps break that figure down for you somewhat. Again, remember the increments are new program growth. We are, of that $4.5 million, approximately 53% of that is going to instruction. 27% of it would be going to research, 9.4% would be going to library, 1% to museum, 2% to athletics, 2.2% to admissions and records, and approximately 5.4% to bring the central receiving facility online, as well as to improve the purchasing area somewhat. So that's the overall breakdown of that $4.5 million. This represents the specifics of the request. And that is the balance of it. We essentially have it in eight increments. We had requested approximately in the budget request that we had adopted on the campus, we had requested about $6.5 million. So about $2 million of it was not included in the Board of Regents' final request. And that was essentially a volume amount rather than any specific objectives that they had any opposition to. The priority order, as it was adopted by the campus, was maintained through the entire process and adopted by the board. But just for your own information, the items that fell out were essentially these. We had one additional package to complete our objectives with achieving the 6 months of faculty support in research. The last package of approximately $250,000 did not make the final version of the budget. There were also some personnel, non-instructional or non-faculty personnel support items that did not make the final version. There was $125,000 for summer school expansion and approximately $700,000 in new programs, which we did have as our lowest priority, which did not make the final version of the Board of Regents budget. I think I'll stop there. The last two are just some general breakdowns. Let me refer to one specifically because I addressed it in a further breakdown. This one here where you see instruction 1.9 million. Let me address what's referred to as critical support needs. In addition, that's the very top priority in the budget, and it cut across instruction, research, and support lines. Of that 786.7 under critical support, 495,000 is for instruction, 114,000 for research, and 177,000 for support areas. I believe two items fall within that, approximately $80,000 for library and $114,000 for admissions and record support. One area of administration that hasn't received any support in the last 8 years, I suppose, admissions and records, is functioning with the same number of people that they were 8 years ago, despite the fact that we've had more than a doubling of enrollment and things are beginning to be stretched a little thin there. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I would be happy to open it up to any questions, comments, or guidance for future directions. Following that, then, I'd like to turn it over to Bill Phillips, who will address the FY85 planning and budget cycle, which we have to begin almost immediately. Be pleased to respond to any comments or questions. Roger. Yes, FITC, by the way, is the Fisheries Industrial Technical Center, which will be located at Kodiak, and UAITC is University of Alaska Instructional Telecommunications Network. Yeah, it is included. What was happening, of course, was where those dollar funds would be included. The FITC item came through a separate bill, and so it is included in that authorized amount, and the UAITC is also included within it. UAITC has been transferred from CREE to statewide administration, so there would be reflecting offsets going back and forth there. But it is included. Yes, it is. Good question. I don't know specifically. I was actually flashing on just before we opened up. I said to Bill, if you take a look at incremental request over continuation, 5.8% for statewide administration, that's their incremental request. But then look at their overall request of 84 over 83, and it's 17.3. Compare that to UAF, an incremental request of 7.0, but an overall request of only 16.9, and something's awry there. I think they're hiding things in the continuation level budget. Okay. Bell, do you happen to know? It's probably good things they're hiding for the campuses, though. Bell? Okay, which had been carried in the UAF budget previously? Approximately how much was that, roughly? Of general fund? Secret? Bob, would you recall offhand what Secret was about? Okay. But C grant transfer would be part of it. However, wouldn't that also be included in the authorized level, Bill? Or would it show the movement between authorized and continuation? Okay, so part of it's C grant transfer. I can get further information for you on that and give you a breakdown of their budget. Some of those changes between authorized and continuations do at times reflect transfer of items back and forth across the MAUs. Other comments or questions? Don? Includes only associate degrees. Right. Right. The formal degree awards. For Cree? I don't believe the University of Alaska Anchorage is currently offering any associate degrees, so I think the correct presumption would be that they would all be bachelor's and master's degrees. We still carry 3 associate degrees here at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. My guess is the increase has not been in associate degrees and probably has been a decrease. Betty, do you say that's generally true? Bill, your shop, you have one. And Justice, Jerry? Pardon? Okay, so generally at Fairbanks, the associate degrees have decreased, and if you factor that out, you might be able to give it an additional percent or two increase to baccalaureate and master's degree. Juneau does have a mix of associate and bachelor's and master's degrees. My guess would be their largest proportion of degree awards are probably associate. It falls in under Cree as part of that. Other, yes, Fred. Right. You would essentially find the same description. The description that backs up that document would indicate that we were seeking to increase the research faculty support by slightly over $1 million in various increments. The funding of the first item entitled Research Faculty Support would bring that support, I think, to approximately 4 months average faculty support. Funding of the second one would increase that to approximately, I guess the first one was 4.5 months average faculty support. Funding of the second one would bring that funding support to slightly over 5, and the one that would have brought it to 6 was not included in the final version of the budget. And so they would be incremental approaches toward the same area, toward the same goal. Any other comments, questions? Does it generally correspond with the budget proposal of last spring? I hesitate to ask. Okay, I'd like to ask Dr. Phillips to address the FY85 budget cycle and the FY83 through FY89 planning cycle. The unfortunate thing in this state is you're about 18 months to 2 years in advance on any of this, and it's time we begin addressing that. We hope to improve the process for you somewhat, even this year. We will be using many of the same types of approaches. We'll be moving up the time frames somewhat. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat. We envision, as Pat indicated, a 6-year planning cycle, updated annually, and a 3-year budget cycle, also updated annually. The planning cycle is an exercise, I think, in creating the university future and something of a departure from conventional university planning systems. We have not found the other models useful for our purposes. There will be, therefore, no compilation of seemingly endless lists of goals and objectives, having only dim implications for the design of our desired university future and offering very little by way of a standard for resource allocation to ensure our getting there. But neither will there be whole new complex processes entailing the formation of new councils and committees. We are going to use, for the most part, our present organizational units, and we will explicitly recognize the planning that the individual units have already accomplished independent of any planning directive from administration. It will be both a top-down and bottom-up planning system and will call for the widest possible degree of participation by the university community. Our new planning philosophy really seeks to address two problems that I think our other systems have never addressed. First, we have not necessarily addressed the right problems or explored the best opportunities, particularly, I think, because of a lack of awareness on our part of what we are striving for as the University of Alaska system. While that design has been implicit through listing of goals and objectives, the subtleties, I think, have frequently escaped us, and we need to be much more explicit about our delineation of our future university campus. Secondly, the planning processes have historically been identified through plans and budget requests in a form paralleling our organizational structure. That is to say, our plans and budgets emerge from our departments and our schools, and following those traditional boundaries. But major opportunities and the schemes for best realizing those opportunities frequently transcend departmental, school, or discipline boundaries, and so we need, therefore, to embrace a much more broad or interdisciplinary view of what we are about. Quickly, therefore, I would touch on the several steps that I see in the FY85 planning process. First, and a step that has already begun, is the revision of the campus and system mission statements and their formal acceptance by the Board of Regents. That process has been initiated. Draft mission statements are being reviewed by both Fairbanks Assembly and the Executive Council, and that final document will be available shortly. Within the parameters of that campus mission, the individual units will be asked to provide a brief summary based on their independent planning activities, statements of their direction and purpose. Then, back to the campus level, the chancellor, working with small group from the academic community, will develop a draft of the university design and the program emphases that UAF will pursue over the six-year planning period. That draft will receive wide distribution and will also comprise the agenda for several forums to be held on campus to discuss that document. A final draft will then be reviewed by the Assembly and Executive Council, and the completed document will comprise the program emphases for the Fairbanks campus. This is the dreaming stage. This is the interdisciplinary scheming stage, and we will urge your very active participation. When those campus-wide program emphases have been developed, the individual units will then develop their program emphases and action plans. Such plans will be reviewed by the Executive Council. And finally, the Chancellor's Office will issue the FY85 specific budget protocols, and we will proceed much in the manner of last year. Both operating and capital budget protocols will be issued, and when those protocols are reviewed and approved by the Assembly and Executive Council, the units will proceed to formulate and submit their FY85 budget requests. Planning and budgeting will have been tightly integrated. That's a rough overview. The specific program, complete with dates, will be distributed shortly to Executive Council, and I look forward to participating with all of you in the planning budgeting process. Thank you.
Anyone have any comment on the next cycle? Roger.
The
budget proposal.
Budget guidelines that Dr. O'Rourke issued last year. We want to use a little different terminology this year.
I thought proposal was fine. Bill is having a little problem with my terminology on it.
I think that you folks are as tired as Pat and I of hearing about goals and objectives.
They were going to try to stay away from that, but probably they'll be snuck in there someplace. Okay. In similar fashion, I am laboring, I hope not naively, under the assumption that the process utilized this past year was, in most people's mind, a more orderly and better process. You know, we're happy to change if you don't like it that way, but our feedback has been mostly favorable. Okay. Let me tell you how the schedule's roughly developed. Generally, we have to deliver to the governor's office a Board of Regents approved budget by October 1 of the previous year. So that's really the date that we key on. We try to move everything back from there. That normally means that the chancellors will make their presentation of budgets to statewide administration in early July, generally, perhaps middle July at the latest. So then there's opportunity for review at that level before we bring a budget to the board in either late August or early December, or excuse me, early September. We'd actually intended to bring the budget protocol proposal up earlier and to issue a capital budget proposal, I believe, in February, early February, and an operating budget proposal in early March, allowing a six-week review time in the proposal stage. You're not actually writing specific increments or things at that point in time. That's that broad proposal that we utilized last year. So that would mean, in terms of the operating budget, conclusion of that would be reached by approximately mid-April, and shortly thereafter we would go out with the budget instructions for completion of the appropriate increment documents. I think we might be able to avoid that final week in that. The period from March through mid-April would be sort of the conceptual consensus approval on the broad directions for the next budget cycle, such as this year we had X dollar amount into research support, X dollar amount into the College of Arts and Sciences. That would be that review process during that period of time.
Executive Council will be getting a draft off the schedule, and there will be plenty of opportunities for import into those particular dates. If we do have timetable problems, we'll be able to do that.
Roger? Unfortunately, it's likely.
Okay.
Right. I think one of the things you will find in the budget protocols will be a call for a contingency plan on the FY83, which we won't know about until at the very earliest, probably around June 1st. And so we're going to have to deal with it in the planning process. I will not automatically carry it forward, okay, because conditions do change over an 18-month period of time. So I think the first question to be asked to the overall campus community at that time is, if all of these aren't funded, are they still the same critical priorities that they were in the prior fiscal year? If the answer to that is yes, that automatically means that they would be the top priorities in the next annual budget. But I think we should at least review them. I hope it's solid enough that they'll carry forward from year to year a little bit better than we have in the past, rather than a total pulling apart or revamping. Walt? Yes, certainly. Okay. Any other questions, either on the FY84 budget proposal that is now before the governor? By the way, the gubernatorial candidates, both of them, excuse me, I said both, there are four. The two primary candidates seem to be highlighting quite positively on the university. I hope that's not just pre-election rhetoric to a large extent, but I think the focus has been much more positive than I've seen it in prior election campaigns. We do have a few more minutes. If you have any questions for me or Bill on anything other than the planning cycle or the budget cycle, please feel free to bring them up. Anyone hearing any rumors that you want quelled, dispelled, confirmed, etc.? Bob. Right. As a public agency, we don't really exactly lobby the budget. The president was pleased, I think, with the services of our assistant, Wendy Redmond, last year, and so she has been appointed, in addition to her duties with me, as special assistant to the president for legislative liaison. So she will probably continue to be the major person journeying back and forth to Juneau, planning to spend probably 2 to 3 days a week there in the early part of the session, moving up to 4 or 5 days a week there during the latter part of the session. Additionally, of course, the president and the chancellors will be, you know, making presentations to the Finance Committee. I do plan to have the President of the Assembly also participate in the presentations to the Finance Committees. I need to stress, I suppose, you know, neither the President nor Ms. Redmond nor the Chancellors nor anyone else can singularly carry the budget through. I think we need to develop strategies, and I would encourage those of you, say, in the College of Arts and Sciences who have a major portion of this, to try to explain your need adequately to various legislators, and the same for the research faculty and others. So we will call upon lots of you to assist in that effort. Anything else on anything? Don? Thank you. We hope it's fun for us to do. We enjoy doing business this way. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.